now tuned in to the spiciest podcast in the world, live from your local Cash and Carry, the notorious Gucci podcast. Hand me some of that journey.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another great episode of the Notorious Gucci Podcast. This is episode 131, man. Damn, getting through these quite fast. 131 in your speakers, in your earphones, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, in the UK, all over the world, wherever. It's the Notorious Gucci Podcast, episode 131, man. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much. Episode 131, as I said, we out here, man. I'm your host, your humble and gracious host, your host with the most, man, the boy with the most sauce, the boy with the most chutney, man. Sprinkle a bit of garam masala on top, man. The rotli to your sack, the khichdi to your curry, the dal to your bhat, the samosa to your chutney, the chili to your paneer, the gatia to your jalebi, the ras to your gula, the gulab to your jamun, man. Whatever you want to say, the kiri to your ras. Man, Notorious Gucci, aka Melanosa. Notorious Gucci Podcast, episode 131. Quick update, man, weather-wise here in the UK. Yeah, it's getting cold out there, man, but, you know, it's dipping and diving. You know, we're sometimes hitting double figures. I think today we're, like, at 12 degrees or so not that bad, but still cold, you know, in a lot of areas. So make sure you're wrapping up warm, staying safe, staying healthy, man. And, yeah, so, you know, and obviously just staying safe, that's the main thing, man. Oof. I tell you, man, I've had a whirlwind of a week, man, a whirlwind of a week. You know, on the staying safe front, I'll tell you about this. So, over the last week or so, I got a little COVID scare. For myself personally. So, I'll tell you about that. So my partner, you know, we met for a walk and things on last Sunday. And you know, as we normally been doing, you know, walking, chilling and things like that. And then obviously, you know, got back and things, and then, you know, Monday she messages me saying that, you know, her parents started showing symptoms and things. So they went to go get a test on Tuesday, got the results on Wednesday, started self-isolating obviously, and then obviously they came back positive. So then her sister, you know, grandmum, everybody in the house had to go get a test. Grandmum came back positive, and she's had two doses of the vaccine. She's had the full vaccine. She came back positive. My partner, her test was invalid, and her sister came back negative. She went to go get tested again, and the next day came back positive as well. So in that time as well, she advised me to go get tested as well. I got tested first time on a tested site, man, on a COVID test site and things, man. It's a scary stuff, man. It was a driving one, so you rock up in your car. You don't roll down the windows unless they tell you to, obviously, because, you know, fucking COVID probably everywhere over that test site, right? So do not roll down your windows unless you're, you know, told to. You go in, make your way slowly around, and then they give you the test kit. You do all the testing, you know. Take a swab at the back of your throat, make sure, you know, if you've got a bad gag reflex, then, man, like me, then you're going to struggle a bit. But then you only have to hold it in the back there for like 10-15 seconds. And then you take a swab up your nose as well, man, so it feels funny for a bit, but, you know, your eyes might water a little bit. But, yeah, you do that, and, you know, you dump it in the bag and stuff, and then you drive off to the drop-off point, you drop it in there, boom, and then that's it. So that's your test done. So very anxious last week, and obviously came back that, you know, I was negative, thankfully. But you know, this is not a joke, man. This is not a joke. As I said, like, you know, it is getting out there more and more. It is more transmissible and things, and, you know, for everywhere, you know, who has it, you know, including my partner and her family, you know, speediest recoveries. You know, wish you guys the speediest recoveries and things. If you're asymptomatic while you're having it as well, you know, that's great. You know, just make sure you're self-isolating and things until, you know, you probably get a negative test or for the required time. I believe it's 10 days. But, yeah, whirlwind of a week, man. So do take this seriously, man, about staying safe out there. You know, it's not a joke. So, I, you know, had my little run-in, you know, last week. Touch wood, that's the end of it for me, hopefully. But yeah, it's not a joke. So make sure you guys are taking this seriously. So yeah, but whoever's got COVID and tested positive or whatever, you know, not feeling well and things or whatever, you know, and obviously just, you know, just wishing you guys the speediest recoveries and things as well. So, you know, a lot of people say it doesn't really affect you until it hits close to home and things, but, you know, I've been taking, you know, been more than precautious, you know, I have, you know, leading up to this ever since this thing started. But just goes to show you, this can happen out of anywhere, right? You literally can get it from anywhere. Or, you know, it is possible to get it from anywhere. So just stay safe out there, man. Wear your gloves, wear your masks, maintain your space, wash your hands, face, ask, you know, all of the, you know, ask all of that, wear a mask, all of that shit, man. So just make sure you're being safe. That's it. In terms of this week, man, so again, another really quiet week, I've got to tell you that, really quiet week in terms of music. No new projects dropping. We had a deluxe dropping. We talk about that Division, they dropped a new deluxe to their great album, already great album that was, you know, last year, Muse and Their Feelings. Got a few tracks, not even a handful really, just, you know, a couple really. We'll talk about what I've been watching over the last week or so. Watched quite a few movies over this last week, so we'll talk about that. And some more gaming news as well. And a sleeper pick as well for this week again. So, yeah, not really much to talk about, you know. It's not in on the music front. It's not been that busy. I'm not sure why, because, you know, it's been last two, three, you know, I think, even, you know, since Christmas and things, last 3-4 weeks or so, yeah, we've been relatively quiet in the music industry. But yeah, I'm not sure why that is, but yeah, you know, we'll talk about it anyway. But yeah, so let's get cracking, man. Without further to do, let's talk about the few singles that dropped and some more music that came out this week. So let's go, man. You know the fucking vibes.
You know the fucking vibes.
I ain't heard that in a while.
You know the fucking vibes.
I mean, since last week, yeah. Right, let's get into some music, man. Music. Hit that music. Where is my music? Where is my music? Here we go.
Hey, DJ, turn up the music.
Yeah, man, let's turn up that music. So, what we got this week? We got DaBaby. Yes, DaBaby dropped a new song called Masterpiece. Typical DaBaby track, really. Didn't really find anything great about it. So your standard sort of the baby track, nothing really out of the ordinary, or nothing extraordinary, or nothing amazing, you know. So yes, yeah, it's a standard the baby track, not really anything else. 3 chilies out of 5 for me on a spiceometer for that, man. So a bit of mid from the baby there. Next up, Young Thug and late dearly departed Juice WRLD, rest in peace. They link up to drop a song called Bad Boys, obviously referencing Martin Lawrence, Will Smith, you know, the Bad Boys film and things. This song, Juice was great. I think Juice was great on it. It's great to hear him. You know, great to hear some posthumous music from him. But yeah, I think Young Thug's verse was probably the worst Young Thug verse I've heard in quite some time. It's just a lot of screeching, a lot of, you know, all of that. And I just really, I couldn't get into it. So, if I were to rate this song, you know, I'd say Juice WRLD was great on it, but Young Thug pulled the track down tremendously. So yeah, it was, again, nothing extraordinary, nothing amazing, but nothing too bad either. And that's only because of Juice WRLD. You know, if it was just a pure Young Thug track, this would not get the rating that I'm about to give it. But yeah, not that great Young Thug verse on there, man. Yeah, just a lot of screeching and, you know, how, you know, all of that on there. I just really couldn't get into that, or his verse, or, you know, his side of things. But nonetheless, Young Thug, Juice WRLD, Bad Boys, 3 chilies out of 5 for me on the spiceometer. You know, a bit of mid there as well. And finally, the last single that we got, the last big single we got of the week, was from Pusha T, Vince Staples, and my guy Divine. Yes, Divine. They dropped the track called Jungle Mantra, man, yeah, that's how we say it here. And it's from the upcoming Netflix film The White Tiger, I believe it's set to come out next Friday. Stars Priyanka Chopra in there, and it's based on the book as well. So I haven't read the book and things, but the trailer looks great. Didn't know they were doing a track for it, but yeah, Pusha T, Vince Staples, and my guy Divine, you know, amazing. Divine put it out and I was just like, damn it. And then he was talking about how, you know, Pusha was one of his idols and he used to grow up listening to Pusha T and things, and, you know, getting on a track with him, it's great. And I was like, damn, okay. And then I listened to the track, him and Vince, Pusha T, Vince Staples, Divine, man. Woof. Man, what a track that is. Absolute fucking flames on this track, man. I tell you that. Divine absolutely smoked it on his part. I've got to give him that. He smoked his two verses, one and a half, two verses that he has, and the chorus as well. Vince did his thing as well. Push did his thing as well, man. This is a fucking great track, man. Yeah. Who'd have thought out there there'd be a day out here Divine, Pusha T and Vince Staples on the track, but here we go. Yeah, it's an absolute smoker of a track, man. I'm looking forward to watching the movie, but yeah, this track in itself is great. Fucking flames. So shout out to Divine, man. Shout out to Pusha, Vince Staples. Really, really dope track, man. 5 chilies out of 5 for me on the spiceometer. You know the fucking vibes.
You know the fucking vibes.
You know, bold spicy, bold the cool.
Ooh, spicy.
Bold spicy, bold the cool. Ekdam tikku che bhai, ekdam. And what would a bold spicy, bold the cool track be without my guy, Mr. Ooh Wee himself? So let's get that shit popping. Yes, sir, man. That is Pusha T, Vince Staples, Divine with Jungle Mantra. 5 chilies out of 5 for me on the spice. I'm into bowl spicy bowl tiku ek dum tiku cheb hai ek dum. Make sure you guys go check out that track, man, and look towards the White Tiger coming on Netflix, I think, next Friday, I believe. So yeah, make sure you guys be on the lookout for that. Right, let's go into albums then. So as I said, we really didn't get any new bodies of work over this last week or so. We only got one, deluxe sort of package, and that was Division. And that was to their 2020, third out, 2020 album, their third, studio album, A Muse in Her Feelings. That was 16 tracks, and that earned, obviously, the number one R&B album of 2020 on my list on our 2020 wrap up. They add 4 new tracks to it and bundle it as a deluxe, and this one called Amusing Her Feelings. So not amusing her feelings, but amusing her feelings, right? 4 new tracks, man, taking the total length of the project from 56 minutes to 1 hour and 12 minutes. The 4 new tracks come in the form of the previously released Blessings and then You Somebody. And then we got one with He Said featuring Miguel and She Said as well. So those are your 4 new tracks on top of your regular 16, right? So you got 20 tracks there, 1 hour and 12 minutes, man. An already incredible, amazing album, 5 out of 5 chilies on the spice album. I remember I gave the standard album, and they're adding 4 new tracks on top of them, and those 4 new tracks are flames as well. So an already amazing album made even better, right? What more can you ask for, man? So really, this doesn't really change my rating for the album, because I rate on a 1 to 5 scale. If I could give it above 5, then I would, but we don't do that here, and I've got to be fair and things. So this is already a great album, and it's already made even better. So yeah, it's still going to retain that 5 chilies out of 5 for me on the spiceometer. It doesn't, the 4 new tracks does not, decrease the spice rating on the spiceometer. It's still, it keeps it up there, adding, just a little spice of freshness, if you want to say that, to an already amazing album. So shout out to my guys, Division. Shout out to my guys, Daniel Daly. 1985, man, an already amazing project made even better, with 4 new tracks. You boys put out some, great music over these last few years, man. 3 for 3 in terms of albums for me, man. So as I said, Division, Amusing Her Feelings, 4 new tracks, a deluxe, right? 5 chilies out of 5 for me on the spiceometer, man. And you already know the vibes, man. You already know. So just in case you didn't know.
You know the fucking vibes.
Bold spicy, bold tikku.
Ooh, spicy.
Ekdam, man, ekdam, man. It has to get Mr. Uwe himself back in the mix.
Ooh, wee.
Yeah, so if you haven't already, man, what are you doing? If you haven't already, go check out that Division album, Amusing Her Feelings. That's a standard, 16 songs, amazing album, right? And then obviously, you know, check out the deluxe, right? Which is these. I mean, just check out the deluxe, man, because that's got the standard and 4 new tracks on there. So listen to that, man. You know, if you haven't checked out this album, just go for the deluxe. You will not be disappointed. Great R&B music on there. Thoroughly enjoyed listening to it front to back again when it came out on Friday. And this is one of those albums which, you know, I've been playing a lot throughout this cuffing season, you know, and this is the vibe that we want. So yeah, shout out to them boys, man. Them boys are fucking talented. Yeah, Division, Amusing Her Feelings, 5 chilies out of 5 for me on a Spice Summer, man. So make sure you guys go check that out. Right, okay, let's go for some news then, man. So really, there isn't actually much news, you know, so I'm not going to hit my news drop for me. In terms of a Coronis update and things are still the same. We're still, you know, in lockdown and things until February 15th/21st, whichever way you see it. So make sure you guys are staying safe out there, washing your hands, face, arse, wearing a mask, maintaining your space and things. Really, there's nothing really else I said. Yeah, so in terms of news, not really much going on, if I'm being honest. Yeah, nothing, no announced projects, no sort of announced projects coming out this week and things. I think, if anything, it might be a little surprise thing. Yeah, and you know, no big releases right now planned. You know, we were supposed to get Drake's Certified Lover Boy in January, but I don't think we will, because obviously I think he was out with an injury, a leg injury, you know, late last year and things. So I don't think that we'll get this album in January. Probably looking in towards the first quarter of 2021, maybe dipping into the second quarter. But yeah, apart from that, yeah, as I said, it's been quite slow on the music front on the album side. So yeah, let's just wait in here, wait to see what else comes out and if anything surprise drops, really. So let's go for some TV and movie recommendations. So I haven't been watching any new TV. Been obviously continuing watching Scrubs. This Is Us was a new season, and currently on season 3 of Snowfall. It's getting really good. So I hope to have that finished by this week. But yeah, let's talk about some movies that I've been watching then, right?
Hey bro, you seen that new film?
Yeah, man, I've seen some new films, man, over the course of a few days. Well, new films to me. I know they've been out for a while. So starting things off, The Martian, it's on Netflix. That's the one with Matt Damon and where he gets stuck in space. I know it's quite old. It's a Ridley Scott film. I think it's about 4 or 5 years old. Yeah, Ridley Scott film. Basis is that Matt Damon, you know, he plays this astronaut and he gets stuck in space. He's a botanist, and obviously it's about his survival on that. He gets stuck in, was it Mars? He gets stuck on Mars. And yeah, he gets stuck there and how he survives on that planet and things. Yeah, and then how he survives and things, and then you know, like all the trials and tribulations he has to go through on that. So I've never been one for the you know, the space setting and things. I just don't know why. Those kind of things doesn't really appeal to me, but I gave it a go. My partner recommended it, said I like it, so I gave it a go, and yeah, it was actually good. It's a bit long. It's about 2 hours and a half, just under 2 hours and a half. It's a bit of a lengthy watch. It's a bit of a slow burner as well, but I don't feel like that. It felt like a slow burner at the start, but once you get into Matt Damon and his character and things, I think he keeps the pace, you know, quite up tempo and things. You know, it's not really like him dulling it out and you know going idly by and things. You know, he's doing these interesting things and makes you quite interested in the stuff that he's doing on, you know, while he's stranded on the planet and things like that. Yeah, so it's not your regular type of space film that I've you know, grown to hate. I still haven't checked out Interstellar either. I know that's the only Chris Nolan film I haven't seen, but I will sometime soon. I heard that's great. But yeah, The Martian, it's on Netflix right now here in the UK. I enjoyed watching it, man. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, really. Got a good cast in there. Matt Damon, you got Childish Gambino, aka Donald Glover, in there. You know, he makes an appearance. A few familiar faces. I think Michael Penner, he's in there as well. He's one of them. Another familiar face as well. I forget the name, but she's been in quite a lot of other things. Redhead. But yeah, man, it's a great film. Great film. I enjoyed watching it. Really did. So yeah, I definitely recommend you guys to watch that, especially if you're a fan of the whole space thing. And you might have already seen it, but if you haven't, definitely go check it out. The Martian. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a spice on Mattel. Alright, next up, man. You know, I got Apple TV Plus when I got this phone. It's coming to an end. I think they extended my free trial, you know, due to the pandemic and things, but I think that's coming to an end sometime soon. So I managed to check out Sofia Coppola's you know, rom-com, or not even rom-com, her comedy film that was released back in October, I believe. That was called On the Rocks. It stars Rashida Jones. Many of you guys may know her from The Office, right? She plays Jim's girlfriend. I can't remember the name. Is it Rebecca? I can't remember. Yeah, something like, I can't remember. But she plays, you know, Jim's girlfriend at the start. She's in there. Marlon Wayans is her husband in there. Bill Murray plays Rashida Jones' father. And the film is actually quite, you know, funny, and it's quite exciting, really. It's quite a light watch. The basis of the film is that she suspects that her husband, Marlon Wayans, is cheating on her, right? Just through some of his behavior and things. And she gets her dad in on the whole thing, and they go following it to try to follow her, you know, Marlon around, you know, and see if he's cheating and things. I will say that the ending was very anticlimactic. I don't know if they meant to leave it like that, or if, you know, it just felt very anticlimactic. Like, we didn't really get much sort of, I felt like we didn't get much closure on it. But I don't know if the message was even, you know, a bit more deeper. I don't want to ruin that, because I think, you know, I think it may be left up to interpretation. But so yeah, I think the only thing that kind of probably ruined the film was the ending. But nonetheless, it is a fun watch. A great, it's first time watching it on 4K, you know, on my 4K TV downstairs. So yeah, it looked great, it looked phenomenal. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, really enjoyed it. Like a light watch, man, a really light watch. I thoroughly enjoyed watching that. A great performance by Bill Murray as well. I think he was a standout. Rashida does her thing as well. Marlon does his thing as well. It's quite funny to see Marlon in. It's not your typical Marlon Wayne sort of comedy, like, you know, laugh out loud sort of thing. It's just, you know, a bit of dark humor and things, and like, because it's pretty bit of a dark setting, I guess. And what I mean that is because, like, you don't really, there's not really any jokes that come off the top and you're laughing at it. It's just, you know, it just feels like, you know, a very dark sort of comedy sort of kind of thing, right? With a deeper message in there. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed watching that, man. If you got Apple TV Plus, man, definitely I recommend you guys check that out. If you don't, then find somewhere to stream it, I guess. But yeah, great watch that was. I really enjoyed that. So On the Rocks, that is on Apple TV Plus, starring Rashida Jones, Bill Murray, Marlon Wayans. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the spice meter. Quite spicy, quite tickle indeed. So yeah, Martian, 4 chilies out of 5. On the Rocks, 4 chilies out of 5. Continuing in the same manner, right? I finally managed to check out the film One Night in Miami. So I think that was released in the US late last year, just I think in December, November, December. It was directed by Regina King, you know, great actress, you know, the one in Watchmen she did, and she's in, you know, plenty of other things. You know, what was the other one? Seven? Is it Seven? Yeah. 7 Seconds, I think. That was on Netflix as well. You know, yeah, she's been a lot of stuff. So yeah, this was her, I think this is, she was directing the film One Night in Miami, and it follows the fictional setting, or the fictional night in Miami, where these four legends such as Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke and Jim Brown, they all spent one night together in Miami talking about, obviously, the racial injustice, you know, the stuff that they've gone through to get to where they are today. And also serves as the night before Muhammad Ali, aka Cassius Clay, made his transition from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali. So yeah, man, a lot of politically charged, you know, themes in there, a lot of deep, heavy sort of themes in there. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, man. I thought it was really good. And so yeah, obviously you never think to see that, you know, these four gentlemen actually met and things, you know, yeah, it was great to see, you know, I learned more about Sam Cooke, I learned more about Jim Brown. Obviously I know quite a lot about Malcolm X and, you know, Muhammad Ali, but it's good to, you know, learn more about these other characters. and you know, they've got a great cast in there. The people who play the four main characters, one of them I do recognize, Aldis Hodge. I've seen him in quite a few films. He plays the role of Jim Brown, and then I believe Lance Reddick, aka Lieutenant Daniels from The Wire, aka Sharon from John Wick, plays one of Malcolm's bodyguards. He was well recognized as well. But yeah, One Night in Miami, man, yeah, it was great. It's a great film. As I said, very informative, very politically charged, very deep, very hard hitting at points as well. And yeah, man, very interesting, really good. So I saw before when the film came out that it got good reviews, like 9 out of 10 and things. IGN gave it as well, so I was just like, okay, so this must be something worth watching. And it's on exclusively on Amazon Prime right now, so if you've got that, you can go check that out. Just under about 2 hours or so long, so yeah, not too long, but yeah, a great film nonetheless. And yeah, man, I really enjoyed watching it. So yeah, I watched some great films over this weekend: The Martian, On the Rocks, and then One Night in Miami, man. And One Night in Miami, 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a spice summertime, man. Quite spicy, quite cool indeed. So yeah, some great films I watched, and let's see what I can decide to watch over this weekend. Now, I am trying to make my way through films that, you know, I haven't, seen and things, you know, to tick them off my list. But, you know, sometimes I get sidetracked and just want to watch a film that I've watched. Is one of my favorites, so I haven't watched for quite some time. So, but yeah, this last week I will manage to check out films that were on my to watch list. So, yeah, let's see. But yeah, if you're struggling to find something to watch and you haven't watched any of these, make sure you guys check out The Martian, On the Rocks, or One Night in Miami. And yeah, I don't think you'll be disappointed. So, yeah, that wraps us up on the TV movie side of things, what I've been watching, all right. And let's get into the final segment, which is the gaming segment. Let's get into that.
Have you played that new Gamma? You mean game? That's what I said, Gamma.
And what would a gaming segment be without my nostalgic PlayStation drop? That's right, so we've got quite a few bits of gaming news this week. Let's start off with some PlayStation Sony news, right? So, we found out that Sony's new San Diego team is working on existing franchises. So, PlayStation's new San Diego-based studio is working to expand on existing franchises, according to the LinkedIn profile of the studio's former head, right? So, this gentleman who worked at PlayStation as a studio head until November 2020... in a segment of his profile, he's detailing some work with the new San Diego team. His latest achievement is having built a brand new all-star AAA action adventure development team for PlayStation based in San Diego. And the team was assembled to expand upon existing franchises and craft all new stories for the next generation of gamers. As to what these existing franchises could be, there have been rumors that for a while PlayStation has been working on a partnership with Naughty Dog to continue the Uncharted series. Not sure how I feel about that. Nothing official is available to confirm that this new development team is working on an Uncharted game, but there is an unusual and interesting wrinkle. In the featured section of this gentleman's profile, between videos of a keynote presentation and a GDC talk from him, is a video from YouTuber Robin Gaming about Sony secretly creating a studio to make Uncharted 5. The featured section of a LinkedIn profile is filled in by the profile owner themselves. So this Uncharted 5 theory video has been purposely placed there by the gentleman. This, of course, by no means an official confirmation of the rumor, but it is an interesting detail all the same. As for the new development team, it should not be confused with San Diego Studios, Sony's first-party development house that has spent much of his lifetime dedicated to creating installments of MLB The Show. He said this new San Diego-based studio is a new assembly that has yet to be officially announced. So if they are working on Uncharted 5, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I feel Nate got a real good send-off with Uncharted 4. If they take Uncharted 5 and go in a different direction, you know, without Nate, then that's great. maybe Nate's daughter, or you know, follows more on Chloe and Nadine's story, you know, like Lost Legacy, then yeah, that's great. But I don't really want to see Nate back in the main role for Uncharted 5 if there was to be one. I feel like his story is done. Great end for him. Yeah, so I'm not too keen on Uncharted 5 if it has Nate in there, but you know, I wouldn't be opposed to it. You know, if they do go a route without Nate and you know, put into another character and things, so yeah, take that as a grain of salt, as you know, it's been reported, but very interesting to see that. Right, let's talk about some more gaming news. So Cyberpunk 2077 obviously been delisted from the PlayStation Store. You can no longer buy it digitally on the store. You can still buy the physical copies out in the market, Amazon, you know, your local retailers and things. However, yeah, you cannot buy this digitally at the moment, as they're still working on bugs and patches to fix the game on base last gen consoles. Still, a lot of people are reporting bugs and glitches on last gen and, you know, current gen, you know, PS4, Xbox Series X. CD Projekt Red put out a 5-minute video of one of the developers, I believe, was just like talking about, you know, what went into the process of this, and how they, you know, tested it and things. I watched it and I just wasn't really taken aback by like the guy's enthusiasm or anything like that. One interesting bit of information they did say is that, you know, they plan to roll out this next generation update, you know, the actual PS5, Xbox Series X version, in the second half of 2021. I also saw another interesting tidbit afterwards, I think a day or two later, that actually they were not supposed to release this game this year. They were waiting until 2022, maybe even 2023 to release this game. So it just goes to show, man, where this studio's head is at right now with this whole thing. Like, you know, did they rush it, this and that, all of that, like who's at fault here and things. We're still not getting a clear-cut definitive answer, really. I don't think we ever will, because there's just a lot of, I think, political backgammon on this you know, thing here. So yeah, but they said second half of 2021 is when we'll potentially get this next gen update for Cyberpunk 2077. I'm gonna wait until I get a PS5, obviously, and they release a PS5 version till I actually play the game. So yeah, but as a lot of people's advice suggests, do not buy this game right now for PS4 or Xbox One, or you know, wait until there's probably next gen update. Just going to some other news. Hogwarts Legacy, the action RPG, the Harry Potter action open world RPG that was announced at the PlayStation event back in June, and we were told that we will get this in 2021. Nope. We've been hit with the first delay of one of the major titles, Hogwarts Legacy. You know, it was just announced last week, and we're only in the month of January, right? So it's only the first month, right, of the year. They announced that, was it Portkey Games, they're the ones behind this, that this is going to be delayed till 2022. It's crazy, right? So the reason that I find this crazy is because we're only in the first month of 2021, right? You know, this is January. So when they said when they announced in the PlayStation event that, yeah, 2021, you know, so we probably would expect, you know, this game, you know, could expect this game in you know, yeah, in the mid of this year, or maybe at the end of this year. You know, I think Harry Potter fits very well in the winter time, so you know, it would have been great. But to come out in the first month of 2021 and say, nah, we're not going to make this year, when you still got, you know, 11 and a half months left, it's a bit strange to me. So that either tells me that really they don't have much of the game done, they don't have much of the game done, and that, you know, whole thing when they put out that teaser in, you know, the PlayStation event, that it was just to feed interest to get people buying a PS5 or whatever. Or, you know, they've looked at all this backlash that happened with Cyberpunk and they decided to say, you know what, we can learn from this, we can also, you know, build upon what we have and learn what not to do and what to do, maybe listen to people's opinions, people's thoughts of what they want to see in the Harry Potter open world game, and, you know, build on that. So I hope it is the latter, right, and they just didn't, you know, delay it because, you know, they wanted people to buy as many PS5s and things as they could, and then they're going to wait off and be like, yo, yeah, you're not getting it now, or you're buying all these consoles right now, and then they're like, yo, you're not going to get it now, you're going to wait till next year now. It was just sort of like a filler to get people excited. So I hope it is the latter, that, you know, they've seen all this backlash that's happened with Cyberpunk, and, you know, they're working on ways to fix it, take into account people's, you know, opinions, preferences and things. I, for one, yeah, it was one of the games that did stand out to me, as being a Harry Potter fan as well. I'm excited, but I just feel like in the first half of the year, or even in the first month of the year, they come out and said it's delayed till next year. I just felt like, okay, man, you know, maybe they didn't need to make this announcement right now. I don't know. You know, if a game's being delayed, you're not going to delay it a whole year, you know. You delay it a few months and things, but I don't know. I don't know how this whole system works. Maybe they know something that we don't. But yeah, let's wait to hear if we hear anything more from them. But yeah, let's wait. It just tells me that, you know, some of the games that were announced for this year, i.e. Returnal, I think that's got a date for like March something, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Horizon Forbidden West, and God of War. Listen, I'll tell you something. We ain't getting God of War this year, I'll tell you that. There's too many signs pointing towards that this God of War is not coming this year. One of the major signs is they are still hiring right now. Sony Santa Monica Studios every week are putting out a new post for someone involved in some sort of you know, faculty, you know, either combat design, game design, QA test, this, that, and they're always showing off God of War, you know, gameplay footage and things. Not from the new one, this is the one that released back in 2018, and trying to get people in. They're like, I think the other last week or the week before, they were put out an ad for a lead writer and things. So they still don't have a lead writer, you know. So these signs as well just point towards that this game is not coming at the end of this year, as much as people said it was as much as the teaser said it was 2021. No chance in hell. If Hogwarts Legacy is delayed in the first month of this year till next year, man, yeah, I don't see us getting God of War Ragnarok, or, you know, the next God of War this year at all. And I knew that from the start, I really did. I really felt like they unloaded that glass clip in the chamber as a big bang and be like, oh my god, yeah, new God of War, and to get people hyped and excited, to get them purchasing and buying a PS5 straight out the gate, so, you know, they don't miss this. With that being said, if it does come out this year, I will be very surprised. I will, not to say that I won't welcome it, because obviously that is my favourite franchise, and, you know, I hope to god I bloody have a PS5 by then. But yeah, I just don't see that game coming out this year. Horizon Forbidden West, I'm really not sure about that. We haven't seen or heard much about it right now. Obviously, we're at the beginning of the year. If anything, I think this game might come out towards the end of the year. But I do think that, yeah, this God of War, yeah, we ain't getting this new one this year at all. Let's just keep our eyes and ears open, you know, for some future games. Ratchet and Clank, this is coming out in a launch window. PS5 now, what, it came out in November, so it's coming up to nearly 2 months. How big is a launch window? I don't know. Is it 3 months? Is it 6 months? I don't know. Insomniac are keeping quite tight-lipped about it at the moment. So, yeah, really not sure when that's going to come out either. But, yeah, let's see. Let's see as well. Speaking of some games coming out, or, you know, not coming out. So, last week we talked about, you know, Star Wars, EA losing their exclusivity towards the Star Wars franchise, and that, you know, Lucasfilm games and things, you know, they've been, you know, revived, and, you know, they'll be involved in future Star Wars projects. And also EA losing their exclusivity to you know, the Star Wars sort of you know, franchise and things, led to another announcement late last week that Ubisoft are actually working on an open world RPG sort of Star Wars game. Now, they haven't detailed or specified what the game is going to be, what the setting is, what the story is. So, are we going to get another Jedi Field quest? Or are we going to get another, you know, squadron sort of starfighter sort of, you know, open world sort of game? You know, who knows? We really don't know. IGN's podcast Beyond. They released an episode last week where they, you know, talked about, you know, what could be this new open world setting, and you know they go into really good detail about it. So you know, definitely you know, urge you guys to go check that out. If it was me though, I would love to see an open world Star Wars game which focuses on the Sith. You know, you play as a Sith and you train as a Sith, right? And you see things from their perspectives. So we've all played as the Jedi, and the Jedi fighting the Sith, and the Jedi fighting the bad guys and things, you know, with the Force Unleashed, and then with the, you know, Jedi Fallen Order. But I would love to see a game where you take control as a Sith, you know, Darth Maul or someone like that, or Darth someone, you know, and you find out the backstory of the Sith, and you know, the origins of them, and you go up against Jedi and things, and you know, you see it from their perspective. I would love to see that, man. I would love to play a game like that. You know, maybe start off as, you know, Palpatine, you know, you go through Palpatine's roots and things like that, you know, before he became, you know, an established figure on the High Council and stuff like that, or you know, Darth Maul's origin and things like that, or you know, you're just a brand new sort of character, and you know, train them up to be this powerful Sith Lord and things, take on like the Jedi and things and all that. So yeah, I'd love to see that. That's what I would hope for, and you know, an open world Star Wars game. And you know, Ubisoft being one of the, I wouldn't say masters, but being one of the front runners in the open world genre, you know, they've got all these Assassin's Creed games out, Far Cry, Immortals, Fenrix Rising. Yeah, so like that would be something I'd love to see from, you know, an open world Star Wars game, that you look at the other side, the dark side, you know, you channel the dark side, and you know, you take on a role as a Sith or Sith apprentice and things, not like the Force Unleashed where you rebel and all of this and all of that. Like, you literally go from the ground up, create your own character, or build a new, you know, have this new character origin story from the start. That would be something I want to see. But what Ubisoft have said is that, yeah, an open world Star Wars story driven open world Star Wars game with Lucasfilm Games is in development by Ubisoft. Ubisoft Massive will develop the new game. It marks the start of a long-term collaboration with Disney. No other gameplay details have been announced, and Massive is actively recruiting for the project. It will utilize the Snowdrop engine used for the studio's Division games, and Division 2 director will direct the project too. No indication has been given as to whether Massive Star Wars games would be single or multiplayer, what part of the Star Wars timeline it would be of, or when it might be released. He did give a small tease to Wired, saying the game will be an original Star Wars adventure that is different from anything that has been done before. Lucasfilm also told Wired that all Star Wars games would continue to be treated as canon alongside the film, TV, book and comic releases. So yeah, man, we just gotta wait to see, man. Obviously we're not gonna get anything anytime soon. We're probably looking at 2023, maybe 2024. If they're working on an open world one. But we know Ubisoft has a massive studio, they churn out games at an alarming rate, so I wouldn't be surprised to see something teased maybe at the end of this year. I don't know, let's see. So yeah, that's this new open world Star Wars game. Right, as to what I'm playing then, yes, yeah, still continuing my playthrough of Assassin's Creed Origins. So yeah, last week or so I've been spending exploring, doing some treasures, loot treasures, you know, looting some camps and things, doing some, you know, synchronizing waypoints and things like that. And over the weekend I did go into doing some side quests, and then yesterday I started delving into some more main quests and things. It is massive, I tell you that. Ubisoft, you know, with these open world games, these Assassin's Creed games, they do look massive and overwhelming at points. So you know, the completionist in me is torn a lot. You know, like I said to myself over the weekend, you know, let me do some side quests, and I said to myself, like, you know what, I want to focus on a bit of main quest right now, because I've been doing exploring and things, and you know, yeah, it's cool and great and all that, but you know, I just, you know, want to change the pace and things. So I don't know, like, it feels different to me than, you know, the open world of Tsushima, which I felt like, you know, I could go and explore and then, you know, jump into a main mission, side mission, which again you can do with this. I don't know, but it just felt different. Like, It didn't overwhelm me. I think it's because it's obviously sectioned off by, you know, parts of the island. So you know, there's three parts of Tsushima Island, and you obviously start off, you know, in the first part, and then you go to the second and third and whatever, right? And you don't move on until, you know, that first part is done. So in here as well, I remember in the first region, Siwa, you know, you do some of the main missions there. I think there's only like one or two, or, you know, two or three or something like that. And then, you know, you get the choice of, you know, can you move on to the next part? And that's when that's only just the prologue and things. But, you know, you get so sucked into it. There's so many things to go around and do. To that point, it is quite overwhelming. I do say that. Combat wise, I'm getting a bit better, but I still think that the combat is quite clunky and things. Again, there's no sort of counter-attack button at the moment. I've looked at the skill tree, I've analysed the skill tree as well. I don't think they give any sort of counter-attack button. You know, they give a parry, they do give a parry button, but that's it really. No sort of counter-attack, you know, automatic counter like with Ghost, where if you were to time it right, you counter it and quickly slash the other person. You can't get this, because when you parry them, it knocks the enemy back and you have to go towards them. So a bit of the combat is a bit clunky, is a bit, you know, scrappy and things. I'm still getting used to that, but I am enjoying exploring Egypt and just doing, you know, multiple things. Whether or not, I see this is a thing I have with this game at the moment, is whether to just focus on main stories or do some side quests or mix it up and things. Or, you know, get to a point where before I leave one part, do everything, finish it up and go to the next part. But yeah, I don't know. It's as I said, it's quite overwhelming at points. But that being said, you know, it's not taking away from, you know, how good the game is, as this is my first or this is my second Assassin's Creed game I'm playing, part, you know, right after, you know, the first ever one. So yeah, let's see. I've been hearing good talks about Valhalla as well. Everybody's saying, yeah, that's amazing, that's great. So I have added that to my list as well, you know, potentially to play. You know, I want to play that on PS5 whenever I get one. After this, obviously I've been checking out the Tomb Raiders. They look like, yeah, they've got good reviews, so I have added those to my list. Horizon Zero Dawn, I need to play that as well. So yeah, quite a few games before I kind of want to pack in the PS4, because I think for me, I'm not in a rush to get a PS5, so I'll probably wait until maybe the summer or something, and yeah, see how it goes from there. But yeah, so far so good on Assassin's Creed Origins with those few little tidbits. I said that I'm pulling it back, but yeah, I look forward to playing some more. Right, that's the gaming section done. Let's go into the sleeper pick section. Right, so last week we had Mac Ayres with his 8-Ball EP, Magic 8-Ball EP, great EP. If you haven't checked that out, check that out. Managed to check out a new project as well. One project that everybody seemed to be talking about, or, you know, over the last week or so, that's Jasmine Sullivan. She put out a new project called Hotels. That was pretty good. I listened to it yesterday. Some good shit on there, man. Some good R&B on there. Some nasty R&B on there. Some sexy stuff on there as well. Tracks with Ari Lennox, like, on it. That was great. Anderson Park as well. The one with her was dope as well. But yeah, no, it's a great project. 14 tracks. You got a few skits in there. 32 minutes long. As I said, features from her, Anderson Park, and Ari Lennox. Excuse me. So yeah, it's a good project, man. Great project, man. Definitely recommend you guys go check that out. So that is Jasmine Sullivan with Hotels. That is on your streaming services now. Right, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, that wraps us up for this week, episode 131, man, Notorious Gucci Podcast, man. Hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you guys for listening. As always, stay safe, stay blessed. Wrap up if you're going out and things. Till next week, man, I'm your host with the most, your humble and gracious host, the boy with the most sauce, the boy with the most chutney, man, sprinkle a bit of garam masala on top, the roti to your sack, the kichdi to your curry, the dal to your pad, the samosa to your chutney, man, the host, Notorious Gucci, aka Milanoza, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. You know the fucking vibes.
You know the fucking vibes. You know the fucking vibes.
Peace.
You're now tuned in to the spiciest podcast in the world. live from your local cash and carry, the Notorious Gucci Podcast. Hand me some of that junkie.